Tellende Nachtschwärmer. Wissen Berliner Bars. Destilliert von Spirits Folly und Artisan Barcamp.
Welcome back to the second of two episodes with Marian Pleiditschko of Happy Baristas here in Berlin. Welcome back to the second part of our first English-speaking podcast as well. In case you didn't tune in for the first episode, Marian is from Slovakia, that's why, although his German is quite well, we decided to interview in English just to make it a little bit easier. This time around, we'll talk about sustainability, about how to handle coffee in coffee cocktails, and generally the issue of when do people drink coffee, when do they drink cocktails, so what time is left to drink coffee cocktails? An interesting question to wonder about, so let's listen to what he thinks and what he's learned about it.
Yeah, the Bahn, one of the big players in Berlin, they started a coffee cocktail program as well some time ago. But after you, so you were the first bar that I knew in Berlin that really rolled out a proper coffee cocktail program. However, a trick that I always try to solve is time, because people drink alcohol after sunset, coffee before sunset, to keep it simple. How does that play out for you? How does it reflect in your drinks, and how do people take up drinking coffee very late in the day?
I think you were absolutely right with figuring out the time. We started with an idea of being open late until 10 o'clock on the busy weekend nights. We started Thursday, Friday and Saturday, especially because of the location where you see people on the street on their way to clubs around Ostkreuz. And we thought, hey, this absolutely makes sense, right? You can get a coffee cocktail or two and you're ready to party. We've now been doing coffee cocktails for a year, something like that. And we've seen that sort of maybe from 8:39, people are afraid of having a coffee cocktail. So we've learned a lesson. We had to adjust a little bit the opening times now. We're gonna be open until 8 o'clock, simply because people are still not like completely open to having a coffee cocktail at night, unless they're really planning to maybe spend the whole night somewhere, where then it makes sense. What we've seen though is a trend of drinking coffee cocktails during the day. And we wanted to explore that option a bit more. And in the evening or like in the afternoon, we have a full menu of 10 coffee cocktails. We have to adjust our bar a little bit for that kind of service. But we figure that we can do, I think, 5 or 6 of those cocktails even during day service without really changing the environment too much. Or like it's fairly easy for us to do these cocktails during the day. And what we've seen is that people started to buy more and more coffee cocktails during the day, especially on the weekend with their brunch.
Yeah, and so then Sunday session.
Yeah. And then they're not even afraid to have 2 or 3 coffee cocktails in a row. Mm. So that's, a very nice way to start your Sunday.
And I wouldn't have 3 espressi for sure. Now, we talked about that you figured people would take a coffee cocktail on their way to a club, which would involve to go. Now you're talking about them having this amazing food that you really prepare very fresh and have a coffee cocktail with it. So that's to stay. They're sitting and they probably have a nice glass. Is this something that makes you happy, that you actually keep your customers in-house and have them enjoying more than one for sure, but enjoying the drinks in your place instead of taking them away and having to take care of this whole to-go issue as well?
Absolutely, absolutely. I think if you're selling a cocktail, I mean, and we're trying to do the best we can in terms of quality of ingredients, presentation of the cocktail. When we started, as I said, we have to do it as best as we can, because I don't want to, for me, bartending is something that I appreciate and I really have a big respect towards bartending and bartenders. So I wouldn't do something halfway or something that and a professional would come and be like, this is a joke. So then having high quality ingredients and you really put a lot of care into your presentation of your drink, you don't really want to then put it in a plastic cup for someone and have it to go. So of course, I think it's way nicer if people have the time to come and sit, even if it's for 20 minutes or let's say an hour, and have a nice chat with their friends on the terrace on a summer evening. I mean, what's better than that?
Great. Respecting the ingredients, respecting the craft is something that, of course, everybody loves to hear. Now, coffee itself, because it comes from such a long distance, it doesn't grow here, always has its own issues when it comes to sustainability, something that's super important in Berlin now. I don't know how much you see on your travels, judging other competitions, being outside of Berlin. How's that figuring out? Because many of the ingredients that we use in the bar can be produced here. Almost everything that you use cannot be produced here. So what's happening? How does the industry change? Are coffee cocktails maybe even a step towards more sustainability?
That's an interesting way to look at it. Obviously, coffee doesn't grow in our countries.
Yet?
Not yet. Maybe in 10, 15 years, we're probably going to grow our own coffee. We're still going to be here.
Just last week, I saw a banana tree in Brandenburg.
Oh, wow.
So somebody grows a banana there, and it's like as tall as you and me. It's not just a little seedling. It's been there for a few years now.
Wow.
It's
okay.
It's all happening. Coffee trees.
So obviously coffee needs to be imported, but specialty coffee industry is about trying to do it as sustainable as possible, trying to source the highest quality coffee directly from farmers as directly as possible, supporting them in their hard work by paying price that's way above the C market price. And the whole specialty coffee industry is always evolving and always looking at things what can be done better. If it's a carbon footprint, or if it's, you know, what are we using in our shops? Takeaway cups, straws, and all of this, which I think translates to any restaurant, bar, and so on. It's the same problems that we are facing. But going into coffee cocktails, obviously keeping this in mind when we were designing our menu with Martin Hudak, a good friend of mine, who helped us start this whole program, one of the key elements in our cocktail program was sustainability and minimizing the waste. And even though we do use, as in other bars, citrus fruits, which again don't grow in Germany, but how can we get the most out of that product and minimizing the waste? So if we juice something, obviously, what about the peels? What about the rest of it? Can we reuse it as an ingredient for another drink? We have a drink where the garnish is a lime husk filled with pomegranate jelly, and those lime husks are waste from juicing the limes and using the juice for another cocktail. So this was a very important thing to us to think along these lines of how can we connect waste, ingredients, garnishes, and I mean, this is what we do with our brunch as well, that the kitchen and the front of house are connected very closely. And once waste is then used for creating something else, either it goes to a cake or it goes to a dish in the kitchen or something from the kitchen goes into the cocktail area, it is very closely connected.
Do you have any idea how much trash after all this post-production remains? Do you know how much you throw away per week?
We didn't actually weigh it, but we have seen a drastic improvement and reduction in our waste. We, for example, our leftover steamed milk goes into our soda bread, into our rice pudding, into cakes. So the milk waste basically is now zero. The coffee grounds are now going to be used in a new espresso chocolate cake. We use the coffee grounds in the milkshakes. The peels from the orange that go for a garnish in our coffee cola, then obviously the rest of the orange is juiced, and that juice is used to make a concentrate for our orange hollandaise on our eggs benedict. Part of it is used in our carrot cake. So basically we're producing very low amount of waste, which we still are looking how we can use less packaging. We ask our suppliers to bring as minimum amount of plastic and packaging as possible, always returning stuff straight away so we don't keep the packaging, unnecessary packaging in-house. And now we're actually looking at putting a compost in our house and working on that idea with the whole house, something we're really excited about and hopefully is going to start next spring.
So there's much to learn here, not only in bars, but especially in specialty coffee shops. this idea of how can we reduce our footprint when this whole wealth of products that we can use in our shops now has to fly here or come here by ship. It's good to hear. To wrap it all up, this little double episode of our podcast, if you look at Berlin, is there something that you would like this city to progress in a lot? Something that you see outside of Berlin, bar culture-wise, coffee culture-wise? Is our town well connected, or could we like really go out and talk to each other more, for example?
I think something that we, the two of us, actually spoke about a bit more beginning of this year for the Craft Cocktail Festival, it's about connecting owners of businesses throughout Berlin, be it bars, coffee shops, or manufacturers, and learning from each other a little bit more. I think sometimes we are so concentrated on the thing that we do that we don't really, and I know it from my own example, I don't have much time to, as much as I would like to, go and visit other friends who own businesses and talk about what can we do together, how can we improve together, even though we might not be in the same industry. But I think this is a very interesting thing that should be explored a bit more. And it is happening. But on my own example, I would like to do that way more. Be a bit more organized on my side and just have the time and go and talk to people. Because I think there are things that we can learn from each other, for sure.
Maybe it's time for a coffee cocktail festival.
Well, we do have a coffee cocktail festival. Oh, no, we don't. I'm sorry.
Coffee festivals, for sure, a couple. But coffee cocktail...
Yes, yes, we do
have coffee cocktails.
Yeah, we do have a great coffee festival. We don't have a coffee cocktail festival, and that's actually maybe a very interesting idea to challenge not only coffee shops but bars around Berlin. What I have seen lately is that the coffee cocktails are being taken more seriously.
Yes.
In the bars, not only around Berlin but around the globe, they're getting a lot of attention and gaining popularity, and you see them more and more often on the menus of bars around the globe.
Okay, so much festival talk here. You were part of the Yerevan Food Fest as well, this old food festival that embraced coffee and cocktails just recently, just this year, but maybe that's part of a different episode. Thank you for all the time. I'm happy again to be here and have a good coffee with you.
Thank you very much for having me. It was absolute pleasure.
Then let's open your coffee bar, coffee cocktail bar.
All right.
So, thank you for all your time, Marian. There's a lot to learn about when and how to drink coffee cocktails, and definitely a good lookout into the future. What can the bar world learn from a shop that is coffee place, restaurant, all in one? How well can all the different parts work together hand in hand? And surely a lot of insight from somebody who's been in the coffee industry for a very long time and looks upon our craft, the bartending craft, from the outside, sort of. I can only recommend to go to Happy Baristas because the drinks are very well thought through, balanced, and they're innovative. For sure, it's not just an espresso martini, it's much more interesting. So come on down to Friedrichshain, give this place a chance.
Ein weiteres Kapitel von Spiritsfully und Artisan Barcamp. Bis bald an einem Berliner Tresen.